Good morning, this is Jack Llewellyn. Welcome to Chamber Chat, and you're listening to KIUP ESPN here on AM 930 as well as 97.3 FM. For all the Chamber's upcoming events, simply go to durangobusiness.org. I have one of my bosses in the house, so to speak. Chris Pettine, City Council. How are you?
Hi, Jack. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for taking the time because you're a busy guy.
Oh, it's not so bad. Yeah, but thank you. Well, it's a real honor to serve the city, and so it's a great opportunity for me to reach out in another way and kind of go over some of the issues that we're contending with.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate it.
Well, and you know, congratulations on 1A passing. That's got to be financial relief as far as city streets and maintenance.
Yeah, if you were concerned about some of those potholes and things that the winter brought to us, we are in a little better shape than we were in the past in terms of our general fund and our ability to maintain going forward those city streets, because you may know it costs about eight times as much to replace a street as it does to do the overlays and those kinds of things. And we're just, you know, we're in a world where everybody's buying online and we don't get to recoup as much of that tax as we once did, as well as the oil and gas revenues in the county have obviously depleted. So we're trying to gently find a way to at least give us some bolstering of that fund and be able to pay for some of that stuff.
Well, one thing I want to point out too is that I know a lot of people say to me, oh, I went through a pothole. I'm like, where was it? And I have to point out, well, that actually is a state highway.
Yeah.
You know, with like Camino del Rio or whatever, you know, that is actually the jurisdiction of another or county. So that is one thing before people are, you know, jumping to conclusions or whatever. And we finally have some more weather. So I'm sure the, you know, asphalt batch plants and things of that nature will start firing up any time now. You were part of a housing forum that took place recently. What is the latest with you know, cost of housing and what you're seeing and what the city's doing?
Well, top of mind issue, obviously, in the city, because housing is really on everyone's mind as the cost of housing increases in a very limited level of inventory that we have, because we're a little landlocked here in the city especially. We're really looking at what are the best housing opportunities to provide a wide spectrum of housing really for every level in our community, with the goal of, you know, not becoming a place where only a certain type of folk can afford to live there.
Yeah.
And obviously workforce housing is really critical, but shelter housing is critical, transitional housing is critical, the medium housing is critical, all of it. And what we did last year is we passed a comprehensive housing plan. A lot of folks may not be aware of that. It's actually online. You can look at it at durangogov.org. And it is comprehensive. When I say that, we're looking at every form of opportunity. And one of those is to look at an urban renewal authority, or a URA for short. I know I saw you at that development conference.
Yeah, it was fascinating information.
Yeah, so that's what a really cool tool in the toolkit. You know, it may or may not be the tool that we go forward with. The community will actually help us decide that in community sessions. But what it does is it allows you to divert sales taxes from certain areas of the community. Let's just say Camino del Rio. If you think that maybe that area could use redevelopment or optimization in terms of its use for housing, for, you know, providing business opportunities in the community to really build up the commercial robust tax issues there, then and that may be an area that it makes sense for. What it does is you take taxes and you kind of divert them into providing projects to that community. So if you were a business owner there, for example, and you said, well, you know, I'd really like to improve my storefront, and you were under a URA, then those taxes could actually go to you to make those improvements, and you don't have to pay for all of it.
Right.
So it's a way to really stimulate that kind of redevelopment and regrowth in a community. And obviously, I think we've got, you know, maybe it's North Main, maybe it's Camino, there's some other areas we would look at, but it was really an intriguing conference, and I'm really excited about it.
So. Well, and I grew up in Arvada Golden area, and Golden, Colorado had a URA, and it was amazing when I had left to go to college, hadn't been back to downtown Golden in a couple of years, and where an elementary school was, which was right across the creek from a feed store I worked at, just west of Coors. I was amazed they had put in an incredible housing project, you know, first floor retail, and it was very interesting to see. And then they redeveloped the riverfront.
Right.
And took advantage of that. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. Little did I know back then that it was a URA that allowed that to happen.
Yeah, it's one of those really powerful tools that's available to us in our state. And I think I'll be really interested to hear what the community thinks as they learn more about it and think about what the implications are. Because I was just in Golden recently and saw that area as well to kind of tour it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is impressive to see sort of the impacts. You know, they're long term. So it doesn't happen overnight. They're like 25-year programs.
Sure.
But we got to take step one. And step one is to get out in the community and go, hey, are you interested in this? Does this make sense to you? Can we use sales tax dollars to fund improvements in our community and create all kinds of opportunities and every type of housing? You know, housing density is a real critical area for us, because if we don't have density, especially in those kinds of corridors, then we can't create the kind of housing we need for every sector.
Right.
And like that corridor, if you look at it, just thinking about Camino,
you
think about all those parking lot spaces that are just... Nothing's happening above them. People are parking there, and there's no housing opportunity. There's not a whole lot of business going on there except for a couple of businesses that are there. And so, you know, that may be an area that we look at.
Right. Well, and I would think, too, you know, as things change and progress, here's a great example. So I remember when this radio station, this group of radio station, was right in the middle of Walmart.
Right.
That used to be a big open field, and it was where the radio ranch was, and... They came in and developed that piece of property, and look at the sales tax revenue now that that generates. And then you start going further south. You know, now we have Tractor Supply, Vectra Bank. You've got, Big O Tire, Discount Tires down there, and Goodwill, and Rocket Point.
Yep.
And all of that redevelopment that's occurring. Now you look fast forward and look up on North Main, where there's some properties that are probably... I'm going to say less desirable, maybe, you know, or let's say somebody owns something that says, I want to retire. If I sell that piece of property, that's going to allow me to retire. What a great opportunity to redevelop that.
Yeah, everything you mentioned, it means economic vitality, diversity in the community of business opportunities, diversity of housing, and more importantly, probably jobs. I mean, those construction jobs that build those types of facilities and opportunities are good paying jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people that end up working at those businesses, it creates more economic vitality, economic diversity. I mean, all of those things are the kinds of things I actually ran on when I started thinking about getting into city council. So it's pretty exciting to get our hands around some of it a little bit.
Sure.
And think about what the future will entail or might entail if the community agrees.
Well, you know, speaking of housing, I'm going to kind of switch gears a little bit to homelessness.
Yeah.
And that's been such a tough issue to tackle.
Yeah.
I was on the Homeless Coalition, and I remember some homeless people coming and speaking, and I will admit I was lumping everything from panhandlers to homelessness to stereotyping. And I remember some folks spoke and they said, actually, the panhandlers we don't like because they give us a bad name. And I went, what? They said, we have jobs.
Right.
We just don't have homes. And I went, tell me more.
Talk about diversity.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a community that is extremely diverse. And when we try and paint it with a broad brush, that's when we make a mistake in terms of even planning for how do you address those very national or global issues. You know, I think we're a community who is struggling with that, just like every community in our country.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, and by the way, thanks for being on that homeless commission, because that's tough work. It is an intractable problem, but we're really trying hard to find a path in our community that makes sense for us. Like you said, we've done some research, and about 60% of the people that are homeless in our community, they have jobs in this community.
Mm-hmm.
They're people that come down from wherever they're staying, and they go to work in your community right now, and they just can't afford the high cost of housing, which is what we were just talking about.
Right.
And so, and a lot of them are also longtime residents of the community. They're people that grew up here, had families here. And of course, you've got veterans there. You've got people with issues that are difficult for them to overcome. A lot of that stuff coalesces into a group that is very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't really tackle it with just one solution.
Right.
And that goes for housing, too. So when you're talking about shelters, we have a shelter in our community. It's a very effective community facility. However, we don't have what's called a wet shelter, where folks with addictions or those kinds of things can get in and have a place to stay for the night. Mm-hmm. So, and we also don't have a lot of transitional housing. So we're really working on every level of that. And with the county's help, we started a strategic plan this year. We'd hoped to do it last year, but we had that little thing called the 416 fire,
right,
which really sapped all the county resources at the time and, mm-hmm, and many of the cities. So it did get delayed by a year, but now it's in play. And we're all anxiously awaiting outcomes of that plan. And I know the city and county, everyone there is looking forward to trying to do our best to, right, implement those ideas, best practices across country, best practices across the world that can improve the situation for those folks who are homeless and find themselves, mm-hmm, homeless, as well as the community at large, because there are big impacts, obviously, that people are feeling. As we go into the summertime here, which I'm grateful we're actually feeling a little bit.
Right, yeah.
It snowed last week. You're starting to see more folks out and about, and I think this issue will come to the forefront for council again.
Yeah. Well, and it's such a, you know, unfortunate situation that you just, you know, it takes funding, it takes time, it takes energy, and there is no simple solution. I remember one of the guys that spoke, he said, I have arson on my record. He said, I was actually camping, and I fell asleep. Gust of wind came up and had the little fire going, and it ended up hitting a field and took it and burned down someone's barn.
Yeah.
And therefore, I'm an arsonist, and I won't lie. I put it on, and nobody's going to rent to an arsonist. And I went, that's an interesting, you know, point. And, you know, and he said, I've overcome addictions and things. And he said, but a lot of that is having access to those organizations that can help, which, like you say, a wet shelter. I'm sure that then there's also information that people can obtain in order to change their life if they so desire.
That's right. I think your point is so well taken, because one of the stories I like to tell is when I first started engaged with this a couple years ago when I got on council, we went to where most of the homeless folks at the time were staying, and we were going to be given a tour by a homeless gentleman himself who was kind of working with that community to try and create some organization, mm-hmm, there. And so I get in a truck to drive up to that area, and I'm thinking, they kept saying, we're going to meet this gentleman, and I was looking for him, you know, where is he going to be? And the whole time that we were talking, the guy was sitting right next to me.
Oh, wow.
And so he just, you know, he was a guy that was very articulate, he was dressed really well, and he had a job in the community, he was a really interesting fella, and I, you know, preconceived notions are a dangerous,
sure,
thing,
and yeah.
I think for all of us that are contending with that or think that we know a little bit about it, I'd encourage you to kind of go talk to those folks, because,
right,
you'd be surprised at the diversity of who those folks are.
Absolutely.
And also the challenges they're facing in your community, and how, you know, like my son says, you know, hey, Pop, they're just like us. These folks are just like you and me. It's just by degrees of, you know, whether they have a place to stay or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's kind of, you know, take off the lens that we all look through and don't do the stereotyping. Along that line with, you know, kinder, gentler almost, but the civility pledge. We've got about a minute left. Let's talk about that real quick.
Well, we have a community relations committee that the council founded a while back, and they came up with this great idea, which I'm all for, which is called the Civility Pledge. And it's for citizens and businesses throughout our community to consider. Go online at durangogov.org and take a look at it. But it's really talking about how do we address each other through these challenging issues in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And as you kind of watch both the national and maybe regional politics go on about you, I think for years we thought, you know, city government was kind of insulated from a lot of the vitriol and some of the things that you see in those areas. But it has trickled down a little bit.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see folks come in and maybe lose sight of the fact that we're a small community. Some of those folks you're talking to or writing about online are your friends and neighbors. And we'd like to remind everyone to keep the discourse at a high level, be respectful, you know, and make sure that we're being kind with each other, even if we disagree.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jack, you and I have known each other a long time. We don't agree on everything, but
right,
I think you're an awesome member of our community, and I want to make sure that I respect you highly. And we're asking everyone to really think about that and,
right,
in their conversations. So.
Well, and I think you mentioned that, you know, on the national media and social media, everything that's, you know, just that seems like there's this big wedge that's divided. And one thing I will say is if you have an issue, go to city council, let your voice be heard, and let them, you know, and if you have an issue, come with a solution as well, and because your meetings are open.
I love that idea, the solution part, and we welcome everyone. They can come and speak to us. Every council meeting's open to public participation, at least every full council meeting is, and that's every other Tuesday, so welcome to do it. Our schedule's online. They can view that, and we'd love to see them. In fact, with my last words, I'd really like to welcome Kim Baxter and Barbara Noseworthy, our new counselors, because they just got elected, and we're excited to work with them.
It's DurangoGov.org is the website. I have to cut you off. We got to send it back to the suit. Will you come back?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Thanks, Jack. I appreciate the opportunity.
And Chris Patin, thank you for your service. We have to send it back to the studios. You've been listening to Chamber Chat. Have a great day.